Let me encourage you this morning to find your sermon notes. You can follow along, fill in the blanks if you like, but most importantly, to live the message that you hear. So our question for today is, why won't they listen? So let me ask you, I'll begin with the parents, do your children always listen? Always, that's pretty good. All right, we have a lot of coaches here today. Do your players always listen? All the time, thumbs up, got it. All right, here's the hard one. Wives, do your husbands always listen? We're getting in trouble there, right? So, why won't they listen? It doesn't matter who we are, we have that difficulty. I'm reminded of a story. It was about President Roosevelt many, many years ago, FDR. He was at the White House, and he always complained about the events there. He had all the long lines of people, and it was his duty, of course, to shake everyone's hand and to greet them. But he complained that the people just didn't pay attention to what he was saying. So one day, he had a really long line, about 60 people, and he decided that he would prove his point. And so, to the very first person in line, he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the person said, that's wonderful, Mr. President. It's an honor to meet you, Mr. President. And so he went down the line. I murdered my grandmother this morning. Good job, Mr. President. It's an honor to meet you. All the way down the line, all the way to number 60. And he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. It was the ambassador from Bolivia. And he said, well, Mr. President, I'm sure your grandmother had it coming. Why won't they listen? Now, I could have just proved that point in another way, but stories bring home the message. It's memorable when you tell a story. The point resonates with you, and really that's what the Bible is all about. It's just a collection of stories. And Jesus himself teaches through parable. 35% of all that he teaches is a story. It's a parable. Now, in his day, people were not very literate. A lot of people couldn't read or write. Today, of course, most of us can. And yet, stories are amazing. They're powerful. It's what a movie is. It's a story. It's what a novel is. It's a story. A song is a story where the author wants us to get his point, and to remember what he has sung about. Now, in most of the parables, Jesus simply tells a story, and then he leaves it to us to understand what it's all about. But there are three parables, and this is the first one, the parable of the sower, where he actually explains what it means. So we're going to take a real quick look. You can find your notes. We're going to go through this really, really fast. The parable explained. So there was a farmer. He goes out and he sows some seeds. Some seeds fell in the path and the birds came and they ate it up. And then he goes and he explains it. He says there's this battle that's going on for the lives of those who hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And the evil one, Satan, he takes away the message so the hearers never even begin to understand or believe the message. And he says, this is one kind of hearing. And then he says, there is a second group. Some seeds, they fall on rocky ground. They sprout quickly, but then the sun comes out, it gets hot, and they wither because they have no root. Some hear Jesus preaching. And initially, in the beginning, they believe and they follow him, but then when they have trouble for being a Christian or opposition, then they turn away. That's a second kind of hearing. And then he says there's a third kind. Some seeds fall among the thorns, which choke the plants. And he explains that. Again, some people initially hear and believe, and they follow Jesus, but then they get distracted. And they get choked off by the deceitfulness of wealth or the general worries of life. That's the third kind. But then he says there's a fourth kind of soil. Some seeds fall on this good soil, which produces a crop of 100 or 60 or 30. You know that Jesus is frustrated, just like President Roosevelt was, because he utters these words, whoever has ears, do what? Are you listening? Let them hear. Not everyone is listening and taking to heart the words of Jesus. Let me ask you this. How many of you, when you get on an airplane, just put on your headphones or begin to read a book and tune out the flight attendant? Anybody? I do that all the time. Really, I don't want anybody to talk to me, so I get my book and I'm there in my little seat. And when the flight attendant comes on, it's just like Charlie Brown, wonk, 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 and I don't listen to any of that stuff, right? Because you've heard it a million times before. You know that she's going to talk about if there's an emergency, this is what you ought to do. But you don't pay any attention unless, of course, you are over the middle of the Atlantic, and then the captain comes on the intercom, right, scratches a little bit, and says, this is your captain speaking. We have lost all four engines. Please pay attention to the instructions of the flight attendant. And so what are you going to do if that is you? You are going to listen. You are going to listen to every single syllable because your life depends on it. And that's what Jesus is saying, listen and understand and believe, because your eternal life depends on how you hear the Word of God. Now, the Word of God in the parable is a little tiny seed, and people laugh at it. And they ridicule it and they reject it. People want a huge boulder in their lives. And so they pray to God, if you are really God, then I want you to do a big miracle in my life. And whatever our problem is, my job's not going well. God, can you fix it? My wife is sick. God, can you fix it? Or sometimes we pray for more noble things. Lord, how about a little world peace if you're really God? Or for a lot of us, it's this weekend, just a little miracle. Lord, can you make my team win? Right? A lot of people pray for that. Because we want this boulder, but boulders just dent the soil. The little tiny seed subtly, gently, gradually transforms it. And so from those seeds, they begin to multiply. And now you have a garden or a farm with all kinds of crops or a forest that emerges. And people wonder about this little tiny seed. How can it have the power to change the world? Because there's this crazy message. There's a king. He comes down from heaven. And he doesn't look anything like a king. He looks like a little baby. And he becomes one of us. And he doesn't have a palace and all kinds of glory and grandeur. But he's tortured and then he is killed. And that is how the kingdom emerges. When we trust in a God who would turn everything upside down, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And what is up is down. If you want power, then you are to serve. If you want to be rich, then give things away. If you want wisdom and love, then you need to go through pain and suffering. The message of the parable of the sower is to make sure we're listening. And can we admit it's hard to listen? Even in church. Yeah, I know what you're doing. Some of you are thinking about the game, your grocery list, what's for lunch, work tomorrow. Sometimes in church, we even fall asleep. Do you ever fall asleep in church? Do you know that I can see you? Yeah, even when you're doing that fake prayer thing. I don't know if you're praying for me to get through the sermon or that the sermon would just end. I don't know. Are we listening? And listening means not only to hear, to have it go in our head, but to understand and to take it to heart. You see, it's not always obvious when people belong to the kingdom. Well, they think they do, and they think they've heard, but it's not always obvious. It's not like belonging to the kingdom of Illinois, where there are taxes, so you know you belong. Can't always tell. And so we want to ask the question this morning, and you can even turn to the person next to you and ask them, how do you know that you know? Go ahead and do that. How do you know that you know? Well, Jesus gives us these three warnings. And it's really kind of scary. Because we have to think. He says, beware of listening with a hard heart and your intellect only. So he's saying it's one thing to hear the message, go to church, read the Bible. And yet if it never takes root, it's like the bird snatched it away, the devil takes away the message. And there are so many people then who never believe. And then he says, beware of listening, on the other hand, with just your emotions. We've all seen that. People get so excited. They hear the word for the first time. Wow, it's so different. The world is turned upside down. I finally get it. I finally understand it, this crazy message. But then they learn that even though Christianity is filled with grace, there is absolutely nothing that we need to do to enter the kingdom. It's all the work of God. And yet there will be opposition. And then the troubles start. And people learn that even if I'm a Christian, God doesn't take care of all my messes. And those people, they've got it all backwards. They think they've entered God's kingdom, but instead they want God to enter their kingdom and their agenda. And as long as God obeys, they're happy. Until he doesn't. And then they find a new king. Now these first two, we kind of get it. We'd all agree they're not Christian. They're not followers of Jesus. They're not believers. And the fourth one, we know, of course, good soil, abundant crop. The third one, it's the scary one. Jesus says, beware of listening with a divided heart, a divided allegiance. It's like when I went to India a number of years ago on a mission trip, we would go into people's homes, and truly, we would see statues of Jesus, a cross, paintings of Jesus or the Virgin Mary. People would say, we pray to Jesus, but then right next to the cross would be a statue of Buddha. And they're praying to Buddha, or they're praying to Krishna, or Vishnu, or a number of any kinds of hundreds of other gods. The true God does not divide his attention. Now you say, I'm not worshiping Buddha. I got no statue in my house. But how often do we pursue the God of wealth or success or children, as important as they are, or husband or wife? And we devote ourselves to them instead of God. Parents, how many hours a week are you traveling after your kids? Taking them to practice and football games and basketball games and hockey games, and there's the recitals and cheerleading, tutoring. And yet so often if we get 1 hour in God's house, that's a stretch. Beware of listening with a divided heart. Jesus said we can't serve two masters. We'll either hate the one or despise the other. And yet in all of this, Jesus says, thanks be to God, there's another kind of soil. There's good soil. And this good soil provides an abundant crop of 100 or 60 or 30. One soil that receives huge blessings and benefits, eternal blessings and benefits. And you know what? I look around and I see that soil. I see a crop of 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. I see an abundance of good works. I see all kinds of acts of kindness. I see those people who give comforting words to those who are in pain, encouraging words to those who are suffering, loving words to those who don't deserve it. And I see you being so generous with your time and your energy and your money, so that there will be a future ministry where lives will truly not only be touched but transformed by the seeds that have been planted and multiply. So here's the good news. You only have to look around you to see the good soil. In fact, you can look inside of you and see the good soil. So I want to caution you. There is a warning here in the parable, but I don't want to alarm you. And so I want to close with this. Don't worry about the birds and the rocks and the thorn. Let Jesus deal with them. After all, it's not the job of the soil to worry about the birds and the rocks and the thorns. It's the job of the gardener. Let's continue to plant seeds all around us on all kinds of soil, knowing that at least some of those seeds are going to take roots just like they have in our own hearts. And they will produce an abundant crop. And it isn't the point of whether it's 30 or 60 or 100 or anything in between, but that there is a crop at all. And that's what the Lord promises. Let's pray to the gardener. Lord God, we ask that you would continue to plant seeds in our lives and in the lives of others. Help us also to not only think of ourselves, but to scatter that seed in all kinds of soil, not knowing where it will take root, but trusting you that that seed would take root and people would not only hear, but they would understand and believe and take heart and take action and follow you. That that seed would continue to multiply and grow and produce an abundant crop. So that we might receive not only blessings here on earth, but blessings for all of eternity, and not just in us, but in the generations to come as well. Amen. Amen.